Wonderful Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We bless thy holy name, Father. Lord, even as we gather now on this first day of the week, Lord, and always remember the resurrection day. Without the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father in heaven, we will not be here today. We are here to remember that resurrection day and to realize that, Lord, we are given eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that precious blood of Jesus grants us from all sins. And we are thankful, Father, we are riding on a good old gospel train. And we thank you, Lord, for this hallelujah line in our journey, O Father, be filled with joy. Amen. In this line, no matter what's up and what's down, as the train move up over the mountain, down into the valley, and making its curve around the cliffside. Lord, we just want to thank you that you will always be with us. And you are always with us, Father. We ask for your blessing now as you approach thy word, and O Lord, and we ask that you open our hearts to understand and appreciate that which you have given us. For this with us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Remember that in studying the trail of the serpent, you know, all these weeks we have been on it, I'm going slow because I want you to realize about how the spirit, how that satanic spirit works. And not just out there, as we already know in church history, how he follows closely. The true church and how that it developed into all these different organizations. But also we are looking into how that the Spirit moved into the true church of God, those really who come back to the original word. What the book of Jude says that the faith that was once restored, that was given once given to the saints, right? And is restored to us in this generation. Satan is not just bringing forth tares, bringing forth all this confusion, deception out there in organized churches. But his main purpose is to very, really, really thwart the plan of God, to destroy God's plan, God's people as much as he can. And I'm very concerned because I, all the years in this ministry, I see how the spirit of Satan, the serpentic spirit, moves among the believer who follow the message and claim to understand it. And how that we get all these men coming in and saying things that completely distorted the truth that even the prophet brought to us. You know. And of course, I want you all to understand that you are here today not by your own desire to come to church, but you have in your heart, the Spirit of God that compels you to come. Because we understand what the Bible said, as Paul said, let us not forget to assemble ourselves together. Because he understands the human nature. He understood the human nature that is within us, that carnality, that black dog that is in us, still fighting against the white dog. You know, put things in our way and make us feel that we have a reason, have an excuse for doing what we want to do and saying that we want to say and make our life more pleasant as much as we can. Now I was thinking about that couple with their three children. And he being a Bible lecturer, of course he was angry with God. I mean, who would be angry with God if your children not, you know, starting to develop diseases that is practically incurable. And it's very burdensome. And especially not with just one child, but three. And they grow up to be adults now. And you have to deal with them, feed them, you know, keep feeding them. And would you not be angry? You would. But I was telling my son on the train, I said, many times as Christian, when everything is smooth in life, we praise God, we thank God. Thank God for everything when it happens that's good. But the moment something bad comes into our life, man, we get really upset with God. Right? And we get upset with God, but that's the trial of our faith. And what the purpose when God calls us is never to give us a bed of roses. Even if there is a bed of roses, there are more thorns than there is roses. Right? Look at Abraham. I mean, he is the father of our faith. I can never forget Abraham. Every time I think about the faith, I think about Abraham. Not about Moses. Because this man, Abraham, was the father of the faith. Man was 75 years old, 70 years old when God called him. And he lived with his father, the Haran, and stayed 5 years until his father passed away. Then at the age of 75, went down to Canaan land. A place that is totally wild. Place that was filled with giants. And he just don't know where he was going. He just followed. God says, go. And he just followed the footsteps of God. And God turned this whole land, wherever your step takes you, that land's yours. And, I mean, this is Bible. We read it. It's there. He said, it must be true. But if God called you like Abraham, what would be going through your mind? But Abraham moved out there and God promised him a son that he will make him, they will give him a son that he will be a father of a nation. And of course, as you know, how the event developed. You have Sarai, of course, you know, wanted to have a child, and then on and on he went on for, well, about 30 years before he got his Isaac. Then you completely went over to Sarai's idea of taking the born woman, the servant Hagar, as a concubine and brought forth Ishmael. I mean, that was his mistake, of course, hearkening to Sarai and then had Ishmael. But you know, we understand, of course, that Satan was moving. Now, as I said, remember God called Abraham or Abraham. He did not call Sarah. I want you to know that. Sarah did not hear from God. Abraham did. But as usual, as we know, as Adam hearkened unto Eve, so Abraham hearkened unto Sarah and brought forth a child. Like Eve brought forth Cain. And you get that serpent seed. And that trouble. And then Sarah brought forth Ishmael. That's true. Now, remember this, as God would say. He said, I'm not talking about your sisters, right? He said, I'm not talking about your sisters. I'm talking about what happened. Now, we are all, whether you're brother or sisters in the faith. In those days in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit wasn't given. But here we have the Holy Spirit. So whether you are a woman or man, Satan can still deceive us. Yes? Man, as we are, Satan could still manipulate the mind. That black dog would still can come into you and have this battle, make you struggle. Do you see what I'm saying? So Abraham, well, you know, keep on continue. Before another 12 years, before he got Isaac. But that period of time when God told him that he will have an heir. And you know that the born woman's child, Ishmael, cannot be heir. Well, until he reached the age of 99 years old, and wow, that something happened. God told him, I'm in a covenant with you now. I will establish this covenant. I reconfirm with you. And God said to him, I will give you this land. I'll make you a father of a nation. Your name will no longer be called Abraham, but Abraham. Now I told you on Friday, and I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, who believe in the Lord. You remember the word Abraham. His name was Abraham, but now become Abraham. God has added to his name Abraham with the name Ham, with the letter Ham. God's name is Yahweh. He is the sound of breath. It means life. When the Lord Jesus appeared before his disciples, he said to them, receive you the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he breathed upon them, right? Correct. And don't read the Bible the way it is, as if that's the way Jesus said. Receive you the Holy Spirit. That's not the way. That's what I saw in the movie, the make of it. It's kind of silly. The way he breathed in me, just fantasy, when he said, receive you the Holy Spirit. He's actually, his breath is already there. He says, when the word comes up from his mouth, it's the breath of life. The word that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. Now I said, in the Bible, when you look at all those prophets and the Lord Jesus, and when he prayed, he looked up to heaven, he prayed. That's why I want to ask you, when you pray, pray. Not here. Here. That's why when we say, we come here, let's pray together. Don't just lift somebody up in the front here to pray. Pray where you are. Breathe life. God's given you that life. It's just praise the Lord. When somebody pray here, lead the prayer, whatever. Just thank God. Thank God. Say hallelujah. Breathe that life. So when God changed Abraham's name to Abraham, you shall no longer be called Abraham, a father, but a father of multitude. And God gave his name to him. One of his letter. Hair. Life. So Abraham went around later on telling everybody that God's going to give him a son. And he's 99 years old. It must be a joke then. Ever thought of it? Already, Sarah is already old, right? Menopause is already gone. That's why Abraham was laughing with joy. Can I in this old age really have a son? You bet, he's saying. But the way the Bible put it, as if he's asking a question, no. He's studying a fact. Have you heard of a woman having a son at this age? You bet. And he went around telling all his household. There must be a joke to some of them. The old man must be senile. You know? And then, of course, he got Canaanite friends because he lived among them, right? And some of them say, oh, this man must be a little bit lost his head now. You know, a lot of old folks, when they're getting old, they're senile, right? They speak something, sometimes they speak things out of turn, things like that. But he believed. Abraham breathed life. Until the day when the angel came to him and sat there eat with him, You realize now it's done. When you spoke the word, Sarai heard the word. And then, 9 months later, Isaac was born. You see? Yes. That's faith. That's not why when something bad comes along, would you hold on to it? Or your faith, when the people ridicule you? You know, I was ridiculed by my own relatives. Why are you believing in the white man's God? Here we are in Asia, we have our tobacco. Right? And I don't know what other Kongon anyway. You know, what other deity they're supposed to have. I just know my father, before he passed away, he wanted me that when he passed away to have an altar, you know, Chinese altar of your ancestor, huh? To remember him. And I told him, I said, Dad, when the man passed away, he's not alive. He's on another dimension. I said, there's only one true God. And all those years, my half, you know, sibling over the other side, they think bad about my faith. I'm English educated. Only know English thing. Don't know about China. Don't know about Chinese stuff, Oriental stuff. Only know about the English word, English book, English God. You know that the idea is so silly. You know the Indian have the Indian God. You all know that, don't you? You know the culture? The Chinese have the Chinese God. The white man have the white man God. If you go to Europe, all kinds of God. Odons and Odins and all that, suppose all the Vikings God. Oh yeah. You see? The Roman have the Roman God. So, you stand for the faith. Am I switching side from my identity as a Christian with an oriented God and go on to the Western God? And the Lord Jesus Christ is not an oriented God or a white man's God, a black man's God. He's not born in that with all that, you know, racism in him. Of course, we know Jesus came from the line of Judah, from Israel. Right? And Middle Eastern is neither West nor East. This guy is called Middle. Is he a God of the Chinese or the God of the white man or God of just the Israel? And I thought the plan of God is so mysterious that election, the doctrine of election, is one thing that many people do not understand. I still find it hard to really comprehend. Right. When you are born defective, what happened? If you are born defective, are you responsible for your action? No. You are born as a child with autism. And are all in his mind with certain fixed upon certain things. Or you are born mentally defective. What's going on in his mind? My son and I was talking on trend. Is he responsible? He grew up to be a man, he's still mentally, doesn't know what he's doing, he eat, sleep, and that's all he does. You see, the thing is this, we know what the Bible said. The clay cannot tell the potter, why do you make me like that? Right? Why do you make me so tall, lanky? Why do you make me so short? The bushman in Africa, in Namibia, over there, I'm not going to complain and say, why am I so short of pygmy? Or maybe all the way in British New Guinea. Everybody can complain about anything. As I said, you don't know who you are until you're born. And election is in God's hand to choose. And when God chooses you and me, now we have the truth. We walk in the light of that calling.
We cannot say God is unfair.
Sure, everybody who don't like, who look at things and reason with it, God is unfair because this is this and this and that. I mean, what is fairness? You want to be born with a royal spoon in your mouth? Like Prince Charles, Diana, or whatever that is. To be born in a royal family. Or you want children to be the son or the daughter of maybe Bill Gates, rich man, or George Soros, a financier, or somebody who is great. Everybody says, why am I born poor in the family? And the other one was born rich. The life is life, whatever we are. A frog cannot say, I would like to be a dog. Right? No. We are born what we are. But when God chose you, that's the mysterious thing, is when God chose you to see the truth, that you need a Savior and you have the Savior, that is when life really starts. So let us move on with the Lord and understand. So in the book, when you look at Abraham, when we see that line, the faith of Abraham, all the way down to our day. Remember one thing, Abraham is father of our faith. He's called the father of nations, a multitude of nations. Abraham, father of multitudes, not just one nation, nations of people. And so that's one mystery that we understand. But Israel still did not know about it. That when they reject God, God came over to the Gentiles. That's God's plan of doing things. If you are, and we're talking about this, you know, when there's a tares and there's a wheat, a tares that is a tares can never be a wheat. You cannot change, right? If you are a dog, you are a dog, you cannot be a cat, you cannot be a cow. So when you are a tares, you are a tares. Weeds are weeds and can never be wheat. A banana grow up to be a banana. It cannot be anything else. It cannot be a mango. So, what we are is what we are. And what we are seeds of God. Therefore, let us look in the, from our anger, the seeds of God, and learn to understand why all this plan and the purpose that came into being in the hands of God. How He planted it. Here is the point of we are the clay, and we cannot tell the clay. The potter, why do you make me like this? Why is your plan like this? Not fair to the others. Well, why do we ask questions like that? Only the sinner out there who know not God, and there are people who are just like that. Because in the world we have three kinds of people. Believer, unbeliever, and make-believers. There are people who just do not want to believe. Huh? And we have atheists or Francis Collins who have been saying there's no God for many years. Now his eyes was open and he became a believer. But Richard Dawkins, no. With all the proof that was given to him that day, he still refused it. Wonder sometimes whether it is just stubbornness. Just refused to accept it. Because why? He has been for so many years that he fight against the fact of there being a God. Now to humble himself and says, yes, now I realize there's a God. To humble himself and accept God and believe that God is there, some people just cannot do it. And that's what the Bible calls the fool who said there's no God. Just to believe and say, no, there's no God. Even with all the proof. Now, look at this theory about the earth is flat. How many of you believe that the earth is flat? Is the earth not flat? Are you not standing on flat earth? But you know, there are people that believe that the earth is flat, and they prove, and you go and look into it, you can be swear by it, believe that the earth is really flat. Now one of the believers in America asked me, he said, you better look into it. The earth is really flat. It makes sense to the Bible. In the days of Joshua, when the sun stood still, now I understand why. Because the round earth, is round, cannot make sense. A flat earth makes sense. Huh? Yet with all the proof there is, people still don't believe. When the astronaut went up to space and they took pictures. Video, I mean those days, what do you call that? 8mm, huh? You know those cameras, the 8mm camera, like those, yeah, they don't have digital, they're all your film. They move up to space, they said the earth was round, it's a move away, you could see. But they said, no, it's not round like a ball, but it's flat and round like a disc. Well, you know, argue and all that thing. But there are ways to prove whether the earth is round or not. But there are people, they're just stubborn. So when we look into what the trail of someone is doing today, go to the book of Revelation now. Remember this, there are two parts of the book of Revelation to John's vision. The first part was chapter 1, 2, 3, up to 4. Okay? He saw the seven church ages. Right? Let's go back and you look. You can see that. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. That is where you see the seven church ages. Where he saw the vision of the Son of Man walking among the golden candlesticks. Right? And then in chapter 4, then we begin to see another part of his vision. Chapter 4 is when now John is being caught up higher. You read in chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, the first three chapters where he was on the Isle of Patmos, okay, and there was an island that had full of scorpions and snakes, and probably he was some kind of place where the cave or somewhere he was sitting. Then God opened up a vision for him, and he saw the Son of Man walking among the seven golden snakes. Then after the seven churches were shown to him in chapter 4, now he heard a voice that says, come up hither. And then immediately he went into a deeper dimension, as if that he saw himself up there in heaven in the spirit, because the vision changed completely. Alright? But he was aware of God that he was on earth, but that his spirit was caught up in such a way that he sees these visions in heaven. And now that he realized that being caught up higher, something was showing him about this throne of God, and one sitting upon that throne. And there was none other than the Father. And his hand was a scroll that had seven seals on it. And he realized that this seven seal contained mystery. That must be opened up. Because that is a seal book of life. Now, because the plan of purpose of God are all written beforehand. Before anything that was going to happen, is God already saw all those things and he wrote it down. And this mysterious symbol, of course, well, it contains what we call it, the book of life. It contains the name of all the Redeemer. So that he could open up, if that seal is all broken, he could open up, and the person who could do it would be only the only one who had paid the price. And you know, who go over it? The Bible said this vision has played out to John. Nobody could, and he wept and all these things. And one of them said, don't weep, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah have prevailed. And he's the only one that could take the silver and open it. And so when John, you know, lift up his head and look around, and instead of seeing the Lion of the tribe of Judah, what did he see? He see a freak lamb. Right? With seven horns and seven eyes. And he went up there and took the book from the one seated there. Now, try to imagine the way the Bible writes. You expect to see a lion? No, you see a freak lamb with seven eyes and seven horns walking up to the throne. Now, the lamb doesn't have hands, right? You understand what I'm saying? They are filled with the hoof. So how did he take the book out from the whole seat upon the throne? Now, these are all symbolic. You see? So the vision must have developed in such a way that he sees the lamb came along and then formed, of course, into a picture where Christ is known as the lamb that took the book from the Father's hand. And then he opened the first seal. And that's what we see in verse 6. A white horse came forth. Now when the first seal was opened, one of the four beasts says, "Go!" And as I said, the word "come" is it's wrong translation. Go! And that beast says, "Go!" He found that the white horse go galloping. And then next, "See!" Talking to John. Now, the way they were translated, I said, "Come and see, John, come and see." John was already there. Remember this? Go! He's talking about telling the horse to go. "See!" He's telling John to behold, to understand. So the horse went galloping, and the one who sat upon it, there was a man sitting on it with a bow and with an arrow. And you know, as we know, that was a fake conqueror. That was the spirit of the Antichrist. And that, the Bible tells us, the spirit of iniquity already worked. Then he went to this spirit of the Nicolaitans, and it became spirit of iniquity. Huh? First of all, it's just the spirit working, and later on, you know, and the spirit start working in the midst of the people, and so the Nicolaitan spirit started to work and put some man higher. Say, "Oh, there must be a leader who was the one above everybody else." Spirit of Antichrist. Anytime, anything, any time when somebody teaches the word of God contrary to the truth, is a spirit Antichrist. Christ means Christo. Remember the anointing. That only thing flows from God is the word of God. You see. Alright, remember Friday we talked about? Yeah. So when he came forth, and this spirit went forth. And we know that he started to conquer the people. That the Nicolaitan spirit subjugated people. Nicolaitan to conquer the laity. Nicolaitan. And by and by, over the period, we see that he changes another form. And verse 3 says, "And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast says, 'Go, see.' And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." A great sword. Machera. A great machera. Big sword. Big dagger. Whatever you want to call that. Now every country has different kind of sword, right? And in China, in Chinese ancient time, they have this sword with a long pole at the end of it. Right. And if you have over in the Middle East, and you can see those Arabic swords. The handle is not really that long, but it has this curved blade. It's very heavy and cut. So, this is a description of Machina, a big killing sword. And so we know, if you look into history, Constantine, Emperor Constantine, or Constantine, I believe it's Constantine. He went to war the crusader and he saw this cross, "By this we shall conquer." And so he went to make war. But you know, over the period of time, by the year 325, you know, it seems that every so often, all these churches there, the Christian there, this different group, they will be discussing and they're arguing about doctrine, and the most important doctrine they argue about was about God. And there's always the debate about God. Because if you don't know God, then you don't know about the Bible. what to believe, how to believe. So there was wondering, is God three? Or is God one? Or is God two? So there's always been this debate and all this. And so the churches were not united. The people were not united. So Emperor Constantine said, all right, that's enough. And he called for the Nicene Council, which he presided over. So all bishops come together and they argue and argue and argue over that. So Arius of Alexandria, which is still under the Roman Empire, he came and he presented one God. But you know, Arius was correct actually. And later on, some of the other were actually correct. But the problem is that strength in numbers is always there among this Roman church, the Church of Rome there. Strength in numbers. Right today, what you see, strength in numbers. The bigger the church, it must be truth there. So this strength number causes us to argue until the debate closes out with the Nicene Creed. God is one but three persons. The Father is God, Son is God, Holy Spirit is God. Father is not Son, Son is not the Father, Son is not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and not the Son. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father, Father is not the Holy Spirit, so, but they are all gods, but not three gods, but three persons. And so that was formulated. And it became the main doctrine from the Roman Catholic Church all the way down even to today. But along the way, of course, more definition were given. And if anybody were to disbelieve the Trinity, he is anathema. He is not a believer of the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is three persons. And so on and so forth. And do you know something? Perhaps. You might not know. Do you know that God has a wife? I'm not talking about the wife Israel. Neither I'm talking about the wife Gentile, the Gentile church. I'm talking about God has a wife. And it was discovered in 1967 by a woman scholar who was doing a lot of research into the Bible. Say, yo, no, say, God is like, God actually had a wife. Her name is Asherah. Asherah, A-S-H-E-R-A-H. You can find it in your Bible, but the King James Version do not have it. Why? Because of that they were removed away. Wow. See how that, I was thinking how that the serpent stole on the way, manipulated all this. So all your Bible that's translated from the King James will not contain the name Asherah. But if you go to those that were not using the King James, you know, a lot of Bible translated from the King James, whether the Korean, whether it's the other language, there are some, many of them take from the King James and translate it. But if you have your Esau, what go to the free Bible for you, go to the English Standard Version. And you tap the name Asherah, you find her name there. All over the place in the Old Testament. Yeah, God's wife. Well, but you read it. I said, how long did they say that this was God's wife? Asherah was supposed to be a god of the Baal people and the children of Israel were actually getting all those idols and worshiping. Remember they went after other gods? Huh? Remember the children of Israel went after other gods? Do you know that? You think about these Jewish people. I know God bless the Jew, God bless Israel. Israel is the only country we know. Even a lot of Arabic diplomats say, no, Israel is the land of Israel, belongs to Israel. Even the Quran said that. Even that's what they wrote, Allah spoke to Muhammad. The people of the book, that land belongs to them. Yes, it is in the Quran. See? But the children of Israel, yeah, God bless them. But they are so loved by God, and yet they are so stubborn. Right? They're very stubborn. They went after another God. How is it possible? They are descended from Abraham. They have the Holy Ghost of God. Oh, right. Think about it. They can say Abraham was our father, Moses our great prophet, Elijah, and so on and so forth. And yet, they were willing to worship other gods. Why? Even the children of Abraham, Jacob's family, the wives, they all have idols. Yeah, I know there are some Christians also I worship idols too. I remember my mom, because there's no revelation, I understand. My mom, you know, would sometimes pray to some kind of idol. You know, I remember one time, I can't remember, it was whether it was my brother Henry having some kind of flu or something, or one of them. My mom was sick for some neighbors, and neighbor tell her that this, and she go and buy some joss sticks and some burning incense and burning on the outside. And I saw her did that. You know, the fear. People who do not know God, the true God, they do it. The Israel, many of them do not know the true God. And so they worship this Baal, this God, that God. And Asherah was one of them. And in the King James, it's never written as Asherah. It's written as an idol or a grove, a place of worship to this idol, to these gods. You know. But I think it's a bad thing for King James not to use Asherah as it is. So that people understand. Instead of using it as an idol or a grove or an altar. You see. But people will have all of that. And so we see here the doctrine of Trinity started in 325. So it builds up. Now, the infiltration of the serpent seed, that false spirit moving to the church to distort the word. To distort the word. Just like Satan did with the favor of the Jew. That is all when the Pharisees came around, and then you have Sadducees came around with all their doctrines. They interpret, well, it's actually what Jesus said, the tradition of the elders. They call it the tradition of the elder. Who was the elder? They are rabbi. Somebody, some priest, not a priest, but a teacher. The rabbi. Supposed to teach your people. The elders of the tribe. But the way they taught it, they give their own views. And you know, here we have the Pharisees, but then we came the Sadducees. The Sadducees is a very strange group. They believe that there is no resurrection. Then what are you believing in? If you don't believe in the resurrection, what are you believing in then? If you live and die, then what do you want to worship God for? If there is no resurrection. Or are they going to say that, oh, we don't believe in resurrection, we just die and our spirit goes somewhere else to paradise. Yeah, the Bible tells us there is a resurrection. All the gate will come up. Yes? But you see how the spirit go in there and destroy their doctrine. A little bit, a little bit, a little. Little by little, bit by little. But the main important thing is the doctrine of Godhead, Satan, actually blew it up. And the mind of people who follow the Bible was so messed up. If you do not know God, you do not know the real truth of the Bible. Like the woman at the well, Jesus said, you worship, you know not what. Think about it. Huh? Salvation came through the Jew, right? The Jew have the oracle. So the Samaritan do not understand. The Jews say, we have the truth. And you better believe it. The Jew have the truth. because they have the oracles. But it's only because they follow the tradition of the elders who teach all that tradition, they make the word of God no effect. Now the same thing over here, what Satan did to the Israel, he's doing to the church. Took away the truth, little by little. And as I said, the most important thing was the Godhead. And if you do not know God, you worship, you know not what. That's what God told me in the time when I brought the book of Brother Branham and read the Seven Churches book. I took that book home the very night, or the very day, and I start reading it. You know. The first chapter, somewhere in the first chapter, it's not even in complete chapter. The Word of God makes a statement. Three persons of the same identical substance makes three God, or else God, or language is not language. That shook me. I said, Lord, what am I believing in? And God said, like the moment as well, you worship, you do not know what. Fair enough, Lord, I says, I'm not going to read this man's book anymore. You show me. And that's where the challenge comes in. To really know the scripture. And I'm glad that I get out of the examination of God. And go back to the scripture and ask God to reveal it. It took me a month to really understand it. That's why the book Logos was written. You see, once the revelation is truly unfolded with the true understanding of God, then you realize who Jesus is. And why you'd be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And why there is no such an eternal hell fire. Because there is only one that is eternal and immortal. And that's God. The Almighty. Jesus Christ is not even the immortal God. He is only a mortal man when he came into this world. But the Father gave him the life. That he might have life in himself. And become immortal. Do you know that you are immortal in your life that you have inside? You say, oh, but I'm mortal to death. Yes, you're mortal to death, but the spirit that's within you, the soul that is within you, is not mortal. Because you are given eternal life. The souls of others that do not have eternal life, they are mortal. So if your soul is mortal, you're not born again, then you have a mortal life. Do you know that I have eternal life right now? Eternal life begins the day you are born again. Not the day when you die. That's why Jesus said, fear not him who can destroy your body. Right? But not the soul. But fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You see? So when we understand the word of God, how present it is, don't let Satan come around and then start messing up. But we have this end time people just mess up many places. So in that second seal, the red horse comes, started to kill, and that's when we have the mid war. And that's why from the year 300 to 1500. But the main space of killing is from 580 to 1580. The 1000 year of dark ages. The spirit of Antichrist went out there. And anyone who do not bow down to Pontifex Maximus, the one who sits on the throne, which belong to Caesar, which belong to the Roman Empire, by and by that church moved and sit upon that throne. And so the Catholic Church is not a religious organization. It is also a political organization. It seeks to control the people, change time and law as they like. Yeah. You know, we Christians, we don't change time and law. It's whatever is written there is what we follow. Isn't that true? Well, but some of the Adventists, they still worship on Saturday. Why? They say because the Catholic Church changed from Saturday to Sunday. That's also not true. Huh? And because they are law keepers. So they say Sabbath day is Saturday, so we rest on Sabbath day, Saturday. Sunday is the day of the Antichrist. So we are all Antichrist because we worship on Sunday. That's what they are saying. But I want to say this. The first day of the week must be a Sunday. If Sabbath is on, but we know if Sabbath is on a Saturday, because Jesus cried down on a Friday, and the Bible said that Sabbath was the following day, right? Yes? Or you messed up. Then if Saturday is the Sabbath, then in a Sunday is the first day of the week. Correct now? And we are worshiping on the first day of the week. But they are worshiping on the Sabbath day. Well, that's a Jewish law on that side. So there must be a change, because Sabbath being the Saturday, which is the seventh day, and when you go to the first day of the week, will be the eighth day, and that's why Abraham was told, you circumcise on the eighth day. All child that is born on the eighth day, you circumcise. What the eighth day? Because there is a new beginning. So God gave him this law, circumcision. And circumcision is of the flesh, of course. Why? Why circumcise the flesh? Because God wanted Abraham to know, and his daughter, his son, that they go out, they will understand why the circumcision is of the foreskin. Because that's the organ of procreation. And the organ of procreation was misused. Remember that? You see? And because of his misuse, between the serpent and Eve, the producers came. And so the bloodline was contaminated. And that's why blood must be shed in that area. Nothing good in the flesh. Huh? And whenever you talk about circumcision, circumcision is only in one place, not your nose. You don't circumcise your nose or circumcise your ear. Sometimes you circumcise your ear because of hard hearing. Or maybe circumcise our tongue because we just speak anything we do not know. But circumcision is always one place, and that is the flesh of the foreskin. You see. So we might show that Abraham and Isaac would know. That's why the Pharisees said, we've been not born of fornication. They know what happened in the garden. But today, here over in the church, they don't know. They don't understand this. Why the blood? And so this second horse went out there to start to kill. Anybody who do not bow down to this system. You know, it's so cunning, huh? You know, you have the children of Israel, God gave them the oracles, and Moses or the lawgiver, and the people just practice it and all these things. But here comes around this religious group later on and start to give this interpretation to that beyond what the oracle said. You know, if you read Leviticus, Deuteronomy, you know, there's all this law of cleanliness, right? Now, they give everything very detailed there. But they were interpreting beyond that. To where the washing of hand must be there before you eat. Before you touch your food, wash your hands. I don't know if we tell our children that, right? But just not get too paranoid unless the child is in some way very dirty. Or touching some dirty stuff on a table out there in the public or something. Otherwise, that's okay. Huh? Don't you think that's okay? Have you ever get an apple from a store and then without washing? Right. Have you ever take an apple and just rub it on your sleeve or some handkerchief and eat it? You don't have to go and wash it in the toilet and wash it in the water. It's not very not unclean. You know. Oh, so what we see? The killing. One by one, those who do not bow down start to die. They put you on the rack and they pull you apart. And 68 million people died in the Dark Age. That's why it's called the Dark Age. And in that period, what happened? Knowledge reversed itself, going backward. You know, knowledge actually Well, it says back in the 20th century, it says that so many years knowledge doubled, right? Like 20 years or 30 years knowledge doubled. Then after that we find out, it's about 15 years doubled again. Then maybe 5 years it doubled, and almost every year a new product came into the market. Isn't it amazing? That's why I couldn't believe when I, went for this the talks on cataract, LASIK, and all this glaucoma and all this thing. Oh, the technology that they have. And even the operation of a cataract, the doctor don't even use the hand now to cut the flap and to remove the lens. Everything is done by laser, by a machine. All I have to do is the doctor look into the computer, key in it, put your head, fix it. Everything is done by, you're okay. What? And camera. Those days, back in those days, the camera is so big, the person had to put his head inside a dark cloth, right? And then you come out, smile, the light pop. But later on, what happened? From black and white to color. Then later on, my instant, what you call Polaroid, comes out. And later on, they have the box one. You can just buy it and then print it and throw away the camera. There's a box. Oh, later on, what happened now? And smaller and smaller, you're digital. Goodness me. We don't have to worry about it. In those days, when I was a photographer, when I loved to photograph, you'd buy a camera, buy a roll of film, 36, you make sure that it doesn't... But today, my goodness, you just... You don't worry about how many pictures you take, you just select the best. But those days, you must really wait and wait. Everybody smile, okay, before you take, right? But now, where you smile, let's take down, they see everybody smile, some one of the pictures. And then now what happened to the camera? Getting smaller. It's a button, huh? You put in the button, right? Yes, yes. Look at that technology. But, knowledge in those days, dark ages, going backwards. Reverse gear. Knowledge, no knowledge was there, or practically was the dark ages. Everybody was in total darkness. People become so ignorant. When you get a woman who wanted to take the herbs of the field, brew it and all that to make some herbal medicine, somebody complained to the church and said, that's a witch. What's in the herb? Oh, bottles and bottles of different herbal things. What are you concocting? Are you a witch? Put her to the rack, or put her to the stick and burn. Anybody who reads the Bible, but those days the Bible not easy to get. They all copy by hand. Nobody can read the Bible, only the priest. God, you are the only one who can interpret. Yes. And furthermore, there's indulgence. Go to the third horse. And when he had opened, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, and I heard the third beast says, come and see, and I beheld, and to a black horse, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on it had a pair of balance in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for the penny, and 3 measures of barley for the penny. And see, thou heard not the oil and the wine. Alright. Now, the third horse is black horse. It's black always means when you are in darkness, you have nothing. You cannot see. That's why we call it a dark age. Knowledge did not go forward. It just reversed backward when the Catholic Church ruled the world. There is a lot of disease. Do you know that, huh? What do you call the black plague carried by rats and mouse and whatever. People die because there's no medicine. People cannot study medicine even to try to figure out medicine and start brew them and become it's called a witch. So many people die very young in those days. Disease was just rampant. And here now, this black horse, and a balance in his hand. A measure of wheat for the penny. 3 measures of barley for the penny. That is saying that, you see, but measurement is to say that this is what you get. In literally, a penny of wheat is only good for one person's meal a day. And that is particular amount of money that you can earn for the day. And you can't even feed your family. And 3 measures of barley for a penny. So your average wealth for the poor people, they are struggling to live. So I guess they go out there into the wilderness and get whatever food and vegetable they can. Just imagine that. But at the same time, it tells us this about this balance. To survive, you pay this much, which is a whole day's salary. You want to get to heaven? Buy indulgence. So, the character is controlling people. You cannot get to heaven. And when you die, you go to purgatory. You come to the confession box. Ask for forgiveness. You have committed a big sin. You have to hold a mass. And in those days, how did Catholics make money? They have lottery. Indulgence. They're selling that paper. When you buy it, and they will have it come out, a lottery draw. And if you are drawn, and then you are given a wish. You want to pray somebody out from purgatory? Yeah, you want it, you can have it. The priest will conduct mass and pray whoever is in purgatory that you love to bring him or her up from purgatory. All your sin will be forgiven you. So imagine that they are selling what they consider salvation. Remember only all your good works. God look at it as filthy rags. Right? And also at the same time, you think you can buy salvation, buy something from God. Don't ever, ever try to find God's favor by doing good works. Right? Lord, you know, I've given my offering. You know, I give a whole lot of offering. Not just 10%, but 30%. Shouldn't I be blessed more? No. You don't find favor with God like that. You find favor with God in your life by living the life of Christ. That's how you find favor with God. That's why Mary found favor with God. That's how Jesus, when he grew up, found favor with God and with man. The life that he lived. You are blessed not because you have done good works. You are blessed because God loves you. And because God just wants to bless you. Some people might complain, how come God never bless me? Then you complain to God. I ask God, why didn't you bless me? You know what? I'm blessed every day. Because I wake up in the morning, I don't grumble. And Sister Bree was saying to me, I asked her, how are you doing? So, well, everything is okay except the typical pain, you know, in the joint. I mean, typical old folks pain, you know. Yeah, so we get up, there's this pain here, there's this pain here. So what? You want to get up and, oh Lord, why is this thing happening to me? You want to complain? Instead of looking forward to the day, forward to the whole day and rejoice in the Lord, the Lord is with you. Just rejoice and breathe life. And says, Lord, thank you for today. Bless the Holy Name. Guide me in the walk. We want everything to be fine and dandy. If you walk out today and you just happen to have a fall and then you maybe bruise your arm or something. Well, I just say, oh Lord, it's okay. One of those things. Yeah, it's one of those things. Don't you know that? When we grow old, it's one of those things that you have pain in. Joints and pain. No, you want to have it. Hair will grow gray. No. So now, but do not touch the oil and the wine. Don't touch the oil and the wine. What is the wine? What is the wine? Do the thing that they already told you. That when the people in Israel, ancient time, when they go out there and on the journey, they always carry with them in their backpack. Yeah, they have backpack. You don't believe me that they have backpack? The backpack is different from our backpack, of course. Ours, they are just not some sinner. But they have their backpack. And what do they carry inside their backpack? Two typical bottles of liquid. And that is one, olive oil, and the other one is wine. Whenever they, that's the first aid. That's the first aid kit. When they fall and bruise themselves, cut themselves, what they have is just to apply it on their wound. Wash away with their wine. Clean up. And then that bit with olive oil, put a lid on it. That's what they do. And the wine here represents the stimulation of revelation. The Proverbs say, the excitement when you drink wine, you get, you like here. That. And then the oil is the anointing. And these are the two things. So don't touch those that belongs to me, God is saying. They are my people. They are the ones that I give them the stimulation of revelation. You cannot destroy it. And that is to say, you cannot touch the word of God. That which is given to my people. Huh? Yeah. You can sell all your indulgence and everything. And you can fool the people. But my people who have the oil and the wine, you can't touch them. See? So that was the dark age. Now let's quickly go to the next one. And he opened the fog, and I heard a voice of the fog be saying, come and see. And I look and behold, a pale horse, and his name, the son of him, was death, and hell followed after him. And the power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Well, that was the pale horse. That was, well, we realize that this horse, this entire spirit already was destroyed. Alright? When Martin Luther, in the during Dark Age, Europe, throughout many parts of Europe, there were men. They were men of God. But they were not strong enough and brave enough to make a stand against the Catholic system. Because the system is so big. But it was God who took one man. And he took him out from the Catholic system. And there was Martin Luther. Huh? 12 years in the church. And God spoke to him one day when he was climbing up the stair on his knees to do his penance. And God said, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. He heard the voice so clear. He got up and he walked down. Then he quietly studied the book of Romans, studied all the other Bible, and he found the Paul of great rise and learned and study until he wrote all the 95 theses and went to Wittenberg Council. Wow! All those that who knew him follow him, and he banged on the Wittenberg Council, and people gather around and read that. Oh my goodness, Martin Luther, you're in trouble. Sure, he knew he'd be in trouble. But this man was stirred up by the Spirit of God. It took only one man to change the whole world. And Martin Luther was that man. Of course he was caught up and he was, oh my. But by then the news got around from Europe, and there are men or other men who heard it. They also stood up and started to preach against the church. And that's why it changed the whole thing. But you know, later on, after all these years down the road, 1948, that's why we have this ecumenical council. How did this church come together? How is it because Martin Luther bruised the head of that in 1517, when he nailed the 95 theses on Wittenberg Castle, was bruised to death, but the heretic did not die. And in 1948, all this was caused by the America, the second beast. When he started the Council of the America, to get churches together, then later on they formed the National Council of Churches. And then over in 1948 in Uppsala, Sweden, the World Council of Churches was established. And that's when they built the image to the beast. It was a pale horse. Means now it's going to be revived. Because the word pale means chronos. I never tell you that. It means green, reviving itself. But in those days, under Reformation, the Catholic Church cannot stand. The Reformation actually pushed them down. And then we have knowledge that increased. With the increase of God's word, increase of knowledge in the world. But the second beast came along and did this thing. But with that, I want to close, but to let us come down as far as we have, and continue next week, to look at what I want to show you today. Why do we have all this madness in the end time message? Satan is never at rest. Satan is always very active. And if you give him 1 inch, he will not take 2 inches. He will take a mile. A mile. Remember that. Give him 1 inch, he'll take a mile. All that he can do. Because you know his days are numbered. Let me show you this here. What we are facing today. I want you to look at these pictures here that was posted on Facebook. Now, this brother who posted on a website, but on the Facebook, he just put a cross there. You see, he's worshipping William Graham. Next. See that? They will worship William Branham. And we can study all the church history. But the thing is, has it happened in the very truth of God's move? Satan is just going to confuse people. Next. You understand that? See how you worship? That's the altar. You know, the church is there. Right before that photograph. That's right. I told some of the churches, remove the picture of Brother Branham from the front of the church. You can put it on the wall or someplace else. Even the picture of Hoffman's Head of Christ, don't put it in the church. Put it in your room somewhere in the hall, whatever. I would not even have it in my home. You know, because people have become to idolize it. This one here, this man here, you see the 7 horses? This guy. He believed that he is the 7 church age messenger. William Branham was not the 7 church age messenger. William Branham was the Christ. There are 2 Christs. First Christ was Jesus the Christ. He did not finish his work. He left his work half done. So the second Christ is Branham Christ. And Branham Christ completes all the work. And he is the messenger who comes after Branham and points to Branham. But all is garbage. You see all the crap that is out there. Can you understand now? Okay. Let's go and look at Benny Hinn. I think you all know Benny Hinn. I've shown it before. But watch the Benny Hinn.
One of the most popular personalities in the evangelical world.
Tonight is your night for a miracle.
And one of the most controversial, and whether he's on his daily TV show.
Someone has just been healed of cancer, stomach cancer.
Receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. Burn on you in Jesus' mighty name.
Or whether he's preaching at the live crusades that attract millions around the world, one thing is sure.
Substance.
Benny Hinn is never dull.
Substance. A tumor
fell to the platform. I mean, it fell to the platform. We saw it was something else, and it broke in pieces as it hit the stage.
But I believe certain demons have come into America through this new group of people coming in from Haiti and from all these countries, bringing their devils with them.
Showman, salesman, businessman, Benny Hinn has built himself into a kind of one-man multinational religious conglomerate. It's estimated his ministry brings in more than $200 million a year, mostly based on his pledge that you will be healed if you have enough faith, and especially if you attend his crusades. 4 years ago, we took our hidden cameras inside Benny Hinn's organization. Tonight, we'll tell you what's happened to him since. But our story isn't only about the man who promises miracles, but also about a remarkable little girl who is looking for one.
Step out of your sickness, step out of your disease, and come into the river!
He calls them Miracle Crusades. And as always, Benny Hinn's appearance 4 years ago in Calgary was a finely tuned event.
Cancer cannot stand in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Cancer is only a name, but there's a higher name than cancer. That's Jesus.
It all builds towards the miracle healing that Hinn maintains is channeled from God through him. The healing everyone here is waiting for.
Fire on you! Fire! Malbacore Melo.
What you see on TV are the lucky ones allowed up on stage. But we found out how those people who actually meet Benny Hinn are chosen. We interviewed a man who saw those miracle crusades firsthand as one of Pastor Benny's security detail. He agreed to talk with us if we disguised his identity. We called him Andrew.
How do they pick the ones they want to go on stage at that point?
They have staff members that go through and give them a quick interview. And they'll ask him, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've had rheumatoid arthritis of my left shoulder. I can't lift it. All of a sudden, can you lift your shoulder? Because if you can't lift your shoulder, you can't go on stage.
According to Andrew, the screening system has one purpose, to keep the truly sick or disabled away from Benny Hinn.
Those people are never allowed near the stage.
In our original broadcast, viewers were captivated by a mother and daughter we met in the stands at the Calgary Crusade. Janice Brulotte is a lifelong believer whose 8-year-old Grace couldn't walk because of a severe neuromuscular disorder.
I said, honey, we could stay up here because, I said, Jesus is up here. And she said, no, mommy. She said, I'd like to go down and see if Benny Hinn could pray for me. I said, are you sure? She said, yes, mommy.
Hoping for their miracle, they tried to make their way towards the stage, but they were intercepted by Hinn screeners, who ordered them to sit down.
Grace and I moved over to the side. We sat and waited, and Grace asked me if I could help her to try and walk. And that was kind of her faith in action. And so I picked her up, and we tried walking back and forth. And that was kind of a hard moment.
We caught up with Janice and Grace as they fled from the arena, their hopes of a miracle, even a prayer from Pastor Benny, now gone.
They just kept saying, is she healed? And like there was such a big like rush. She just wanted to pray for it.
That was almost 4 years ago. Grace Brulotte is now 11. She didn't get her miracle from Pastor Benny that night, and she still can't walk. But you'll see, she's not about to let that stop her.
When I paint, I'm in my own world. I just like doing artistic things. I like doing scenery. It's my favorite thing to do because our house has lots of windows so we can see outside, so I always get ideas.
She's a budding artist, but that's not all. It's no wonder friends and family call her Amazing Grace. In addition to not being able to walk on her own, Grace still has stiff joints and weak muscles. She's got little mobility in her hands, but with a bit of help, she can play the piano. And not just any tune. This is Tchaikovsky.
She said, "Mommy, I'd like to take piano lessons." And I said, "Oh, I don't know, hon," because I was a little bit worried that she might be disappointed because her hands are such that they're not like our hands. Her fingers don't work like our fingers. And her arm joints are rigid. And so I just wasn't sure how it was going to work.
It works beautifully. Today, Grace is at the Fernie Fellowship Baptist Church, where she lives in Fernie, British Columbia. She's playing Swan Lake at the Sunday service.
And I was sitting listening to her, and she played it so beautifully. And she put her whole, like I say, her whole body and her whole heart into it. And it just epitomized who she was. You know, a little swan who was gray and seemingly ugly and not very popular with the flock. And little ugly duckling developed into a beautiful white swan and was loved and accepted by everyone after that. She plays the piano, I stand in awe, amazed at what she can do with so little mobility. It's incredible.
Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free from the truth you now bring us, shine on me.
Through her piano playing, her voice, her music, she's just developed, her character's developed, and she just is flourishing. I'm so proud of her, and I believe that it was a gift from God to make up for what she is lacking in her body.
You've got cancer of the stomach? Are you ready for God to burn that cancer out?
A man like Reverend Peter Popoff is a very dangerous man. My estimation, he was a real scoundrel because he was taking people's faith in their religion. He was taking away their security. In many cases, he was harming them physically because he was convincing them that they didn't have to go to doctors anymore, that Jesus had healed them.
If you got pills as an act of faith, I want you just to throw them out the aisles. Those of you up in the balcony, just throw them over the side. Amen. Throw them over the side. Throw them over the side.
So you have Popoff, who's going around a congregation and just seemed to be able to hear the voice of God and know all about people, even their addresses. He would call it out. Everyone's impressed.
Is that John 3784, Archwood Road? God is burning those blood clots out of his veins, out of his arteries. There it is.
So he was doing a mentalism act, it appeared, and we wondered how he got the information.
I'm sitting there, and after some of the emotion had died down in me, Popoff said, "I need people to come down to collect money for him." And basically he had 15 buckets. And I was supposed to go around the auditorium and collect cash.
God is touching that thyroid condition right now. And
these people were throwing like 5s, 10s, 20s. Because one of the things Popoff always tells them, whatever you give, you will get back tenfold. So if you put $1 in, hey, you're going to get $10. You put $100 in, you're going to get a lot more money back. And these people truly believe this.
Jesus, you foul spirit of deafness, take your hands off this woman in Jesus' name. Lord, let these ears be open. There it is.
And as I get up close, I notice in his ear that there's an earpiece. There's no ear hole. It's a little piece of plastic in there. And I come back to Randy. I said, "I think I know what's going on."
I said, "What's up?" he said he's wearing a hearing aid in his left ear. Now, a man who heals the deaf, you wouldn't think would be wearing a hearing aid.
Well, how do I sound now?
Loud.
Loud!
At that point, I realized we needed some technical help, so I enlisted the aid of a private investigator named Alec Jason.
I dressed as a security guard, complete uniform, badge, shirt, radio, keys, everything.
Not a security guard, I just looked like one, part of my cover.
And I was nervous. I went down a corridor, and that's where I set up my equipment. She was sort of concealed in bags. So I have my scanner going, and it's looking for new frequencies, anything new that's not there normally.
Get ready. Get ready. Praise God.
Suddenly, on the scanner, one of the lights came on, saying there's a signal, and the scanner has stopped at that frequency. And I hear what I realize are now footsteps. High-heeled footsteps on a hard surface.
How many of you believe it's all right to praise the Lord?
And then I hear someone coming closer and closer to the microphone, and the woman's voice said, "Hello, Petey."
Hello, Petey. Can you hear me? If you can't, you're in trouble.
Yes. They were using a radio frequency. I found it.
In the name of Jesus.
Jody Dean. Jody Dean.
Is it Jody? Jody?
Dean.
Dean? Jody Dean?
No, she should be right there on your right side.
Here it comes.
Okay, she lives at 4267 Masterson.
4267 Masterson. I can see the angels of God all around your house. Rosa?
Kamir.
Is it Kamir? You've been taking a lot of medication?
She's there with her son, Kipper, and he has a lump in his chest.
Wait just a minute. Who's Kipper? He's got a lump in his chest. You want God to melt it right now? Kipper, stand up. God's going to burn that thing out right now.
They filled out prayer request forms saying, "I have cancer, or I have this problem or that problem." So she's giving that information directly to Popoff, and then he's reciting that information as if he's getting it from God.
Martha Sikorsky.
Is it Martha? Is it Sikorsky?
Weldon Crab.
Is it Weldon?
Crab.
Peggy
White.
Peggy White?
1305 Solano.
1305 Solano?
Turn over to the left.
Hallelujah.
There you go. So she's had a hysterectomy. She can't take hormones. She's got a kidney and eyesight.
Do you want God to touch your kidneys? Now let that ear open. In the name of the Lord. Right now, Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost. Here it comes and she's got the back off. Is the bondage is broken? Woo. In the name of Jesus. You foul spirit!
That's what I'm getting out of here now. So I packed everything up. I turned the equipment off, took my bags, and I walked down the stairs outside into the cool air. My heart's pounding now because I've got the goods.
Not only do we have the evidence we needed, we had more than what we needed. We had it. So I went on the Johnny Carson show, and when the revelation came and you heard Mrs. Popoff's voice...
Hello, Petey. Can you hear me? If you can't, you're in trouble.
Johnny suddenly realized what the gimmick was, and he said, "Oh!"
Turns out that God's frequency, I didn't know he used radio,
yeah,
is 39.170 megahertz, and God is a woman, obviously, and sounds exactly like Popoff's wife, Elizabeth.
Has he seen this tape, though?
No, he does not know about this until this very moment.
I can't imagine what it would be like to maintain a life where your living and your well-being of you and your family depends upon you lying every single day.
Well, we did it. We had exposed this man on probably the most popular television show of the day. And he announced bankruptcy shortly after that.
Oh, glory to God.
Okay, so take a break and do it.
Peter Popoff has reached out to hurting people around the world with a prophet's anointing for more than 40 years. He has spoken divine miracles into the lives of thousands of people, perhaps like you, who were facing hopeless situations and needed God's intervention.
Peter Popoff wants you to know that God can reverse every negative verdict in your life. You don't have to live a life sentence of lack and defeat. You can be free to enjoy all of God's richest blessings. That's why he wants to send you your free packet of Miracle Spring Water, your point of contact for the miracle you need, now in a larger size.
I had been in two car accidents,
And the doctors kept saying, well, here, you got to take painkillers. I used your Miracle Spring water, and it's gone.
The banks had told me that I could not get another home. I prayed, I believed, I followed every instruction, and on May 26th, we closed on our dream home.
Stop settling on less and reach for God's best. God is a God of more, and now there's more Miracle Spring water in a new, larger packet.
You have sent me the water, and I used it. You told me I was going to get a check for $7,000. Sure enough, I got a check in the mail. It was exactly $7,000.
Another check for $4,700 for me to move to New York City. Glory to God. Supernatural wealth transfer.
I will send you the Miracle Spring water. I'll send you the instructions. I'll tell you how to use it to see total victory in every area of your life.
Act now. Call the number on your screen today and get your free packet of Miracle Spring water.
Isn't it amazing to see what God is doing?
His comeback has been featured in the press and covered critically on major programs like Inside Edition, 2020, and now the Center for Inquiry's own Think Again TV. Through a secret source, CFI was able to obtain 4 tickets to an invitation-only event in Toronto called Positioning Yourself for the Harvest. Impoverished audience members were asked to contribute $1,000 each to facilitate their debt reduction, while Popoff took in over $23 million last year. We wanted to find out whose financial interests were being served. In order to be as effective as possible, before attending the event, CFI members got some advice from the expert himself, Mr. James Randi.
I suggest that as many people as possible who are going to the meeting have voice recorders with them, concealed and on at all times, because they may be very well approached by usually a pleasant young couple who will begin to question them. Oh, have you ever seen Reverend Popoff before? And what are you going to ask? Kind of thing. That's another method that they have of getting information, of course. And
how do you think we can go about having a more lasting effect with him, since he keeps popping back up? Is there a way to expose him once and for all? I mean, you did such a great job. I'm just at a loss for how we can top that so this nonsense can stop.
Well, I don't know that you can top it because, as I mentioned before on my website, I believe, after Johnny Carson retired, about every 2 weeks I'd get a call from him saying he just saw Popoff on TV. How could this be? We exposed him and such. I had to tell him, John, this is something you have to expect.
Hallelujah. I tell you, these devils are backing off. The devil wants to steal your smile, steal your health. He is a liar. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Think Again TV was able to take secret camera footage showing Popoff engaging in similar tricks to those used during his 1980s fame. For example, healings were only done for those in the front sections where prayer cards had been carefully distributed and collected, and where handlers were able to interact with the audience members before the show. Popoff carefully selected those to receive his laying on of hands, while anyone appearing harder to manipulate were sent the divine overflow rather than being approached.
Divine overflow! Glory to God. Brother Ajahn, you have cancer also. Brother Ajahn, you're going to get the overflow, sister. What the doctors can't do, God and Jesus will. You're going to see deliverance and health and strength and victory. Amen. You're going to have a test of Jesus. Get it! Get it!
And I bind this foul spirit that has tormented you in the name of Jesus. And I command you, Satan, to loose your hold from him right now.
Others didn't make the cut at all. This man, who looked too sick to appear to be cured, was repeatedly escorted back to his seat after desperately attempting to reach Papa for a miracle. When he sat back down, he was heard saying, "They won't let me be healed. Why?"
Oh, Jesus, Lord, touch our brother. Touch his lungs. Oh, Heavenly Father.
Testimonies from audience members combined reports of healings made possible by Popoff's own Miracle Spring Water with stories of miraculous family reconciliations, as well as spontaneous increases in bank account balances.
Brother, what happened to you?
My two daughters back.
He got his two daughters back. Amen. He wants to come and say thank you because he got his kingdom. We give God the glory. We have to thank God for that. Let's just thank him for that. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing.
I just want the root come right out of my body.
Amen. Did you use the miracle spring water?
Yes, I did.
Amen. And God gave you a miracle. We thank you for that. Come on up here, brother.
Finally, the climax of the evening was Popov's claim that each audience member needed to transfer to him $1,000 to benefit from his divine powers.
And I'd like you to take one of these envelopes and put your best CD tonight. I'll send you some more envelopes. Amen. When I get you back to our headquarters. Amen. You're going to put your name and address on here so I can send you more miracle spring water with new instructions. Although Popoff quickly escaped immediately after the show, Think Again TV's host Justin Trottier approached his assistant Lee, asking why they required funds to provide miracles. When Lee's wife responded that Justin was mistaken, Lee told her, "Don't even talk to him. He's a lunatic." After a few more words were exchanged, Popoff's organist, who had provided music while Popoff cured the audience, yelled at us, "I hope you die of cancer." Peter Popoff's event, Positioning You for Harvest, did indeed result in a bountiful harvest, just not for anybody in the audience. In Jesus' name, Satan, back off! And you're going to walk, and you're not going to need all this influence and equipment. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, just to show you, what the devil is doing today is different from what he did yesteryear. Yes? A lot of different. And if you look at what Brother Branham did in his days, he never pushed these people. He just prayed for them. There's no drama. And I don't believe Jesus went around healing sick by pushing people and fire like a Benny Hinn. People fall down. They're all acting. And these people claim to be healed. You know what he said at the end of it? To benefit from your well-being, that you're really healed. Buy the water, buy the miracle water. Send him $1,000. Keep on using the miracle water and you'll be fine. And now you'll get at people like this. What do you think they stand? And even the one that was couldn't help laughing was the drummer in, you know, one talked to the man, one inquired, said, I hope you get cancer. Is that a Christian behavior? That you curse a person that want to find the truth, that he be cursed with the cancer? And you can see this, Peter Pofop had no fear of God. He will use the name of Jesus to manipulate, and that's why in religion there's a lot of money to be made, especially in charism and all this so-called Christian crusade of healing. And that's why you see in Singapore, City Harvest Gates, where money are, it's a big thing. It's all about money. And there's no care, no love for souls that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ. And God doesn't always heal everybody. People think that he has the power to heal. And prophet don't even have it. He's just making use of people who are naive. You know, why would not that old man brought to him to be prayed for? He only chose those who can manipulate. Those who were even being used by him. How did the woman get $7,000 in the check? Once in a while there had to be a trade-off to save him, her, the man, so that she could come and testify and make a big show, right? You understand what I'm saying? Now you need the money, I know it, and then you pray for you and all these things, and you say, and then you come back next time you testify. What? It is real. The whole thing is all hoax and all these things. And then God have mercy on him. He doesn't know what he's doing. And just remember this. The trail of the serpent is getting deeper into people's life and make them to see as if these whole things are real. But God lies in simplicity. You want your life to live the life of Christ. And when you look to Christ for healing, just as the little girl in Benny Hinn's the first video, she's still a believer in Christ. Right? There are many people who have born, with a disease or born handicapped, but their faith is still in the Lord. And I pray that those who are going through this in the present world today, Christian, that they can believe that God has everything in control. But your faith is being tested. Because this life that we live is only about a span of 120 years if you can live that long. And then after it's gone, it's the other side, the other dimension. Amen? May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for opening our eyes, O Lord, in this last day to your word of truth. And having seen this truth, O Lord, and we pray that we hold it deep in our heart, that we will continue to hold fast to the faith and fight a good fight. Knowing that Satan is like a roaring lion going out seeking whom he may devour, Lord. And we know he has done much destruction, O Father, in the life of many people. And again, Lord, help us not to be religious. As you see, there are many people out there who are reaching out to God, but they have not been taught the truth. And perhaps, Lord, they are not willing to hear the truth. They just need the miracle. And there are people who just want miracle, but not the word of truth. Nevertheless, O Father, for those that are yours, we pray that we walk in the light in this last day, that which we have received from you now. So, Father, bless us even as we dismiss from here, in Jesus' name. Amen.